Turn to Exodus chapter 20, and we come to verse number 12 this morning. Exodus chapter 20, the 12th verse. The sixth commandment comes tonight. Today's the fifth. The fifth commandment. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor thy father and thy mother. We are to honor our parents. We are to do it in our youth, and we are to do it in adulthood. As long as our parents live, we are to honor them in life and to not dishonor them in death. What we have here is the duty that we have to our parents. And with this commandment, we go from the first table of the commandments to the second table of the commandments. The first table dealt with our duty to God. Our duty to God. The second table deals with our duties to man. The Westminster Confession puts it this way: the first four commandments contain our duty toward God. The other six, our duty to man. And the fifth commandment is the bridge. It is the bridge that brings us over from the first tablet to the second tablet or table. The first table, our duty to God, is religion and morality Godward. The second table, our duty to man, is religion and morality manward. How we are to treat our parents and treat our fellow man. Religion and morality are linked, and I'm talking about true religion. They are linked. And you cannot have morals, godly morals, without the clear and plain commands of God and the obedience to them. Now, the devil, and there is a real devil, Lucifer. Some people call him Old Slewfoot. Satan. He'd have us throw out not just the first table or tablet, but throw out the second table or tablet of the commandments. And he's doing that with a lot of folks today, but do not let him do that to you. We have heaven's directive here. The Scripture says, honor thy father and thy mother. And we're to have a right attitude and a right conduct toward our parents. Our conduct toward our parents is to be respectful obedience. Honoring our parents goes further than just obeying them. Well, I obey them. It goes further than that. It goes past that. It's more than that. It means submission. Submission to chores given without grumbling and complaining. You ought to have chores. Do some of you youngins have chores? There are things that you have to do. I mean, you need chores. It's a good thing. Obey. submit. Not only does it mean submission, it means acceptance of rebukes when you have disobeyed. Acceptance of that rebuke. You deserve it, and you need to accept it. It means submission to correction when it is meted out. Everybody needs to be corrected at times. Children need to be corrected. Be submissive to that. Honor father and mother means that we are to have a reverent fear of them. Leviticus 19:3 says, "Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God." You are to do this. That's what the Bible says. Now in the Bible, fear doesn't always mean being afraid. Fear often means to have a reverent respect, a healthy fear. Turn to Proverbs. Chapter 9 and verse number 10. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse number 10. Proverbs 9 and verse number 10, where the Bible says, Proverbs 9, verse number 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." Fear of the Lord. The beginning of wisdom. We need to have the fear of the Lord in us. And I believe that our parents help us to have that godly fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 reads, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools," listen to this, "and fools despise wisdom and instruction." It's foolish to despise wisdom and instruction, to not follow godly advice and instruction. Proverbs 3 and verse number 9 says that we are to honor the Lord. "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." We are to fear the Lord. We are to honor the Lord. We are to fear our parents with a reverent fear, and we are to honor them. Now, the first fruits of our increase is to give Him off the top. In the olden days, a lot of times they would barter, or they would trade, or they would have their fruit, they would have their crop, and they would give the first fruits, the 10%. They would give unto the Lord. Alistair Begg, in his booklet, "How God's Laws Guide Our Lives," writes this: "Parental authority is indispensable in a stable society." And that's why we're unstable, because we don't have parents in our society. Many times there are children raising themselves. Many homes with single parents, many homes without a male figure in the home, some without the female figure, where the wife has left. It's indispensable, he says. "Through the ages, virtually all civilization have recognized this truth. From the beginning, God placed mankind in families." And let me say, that's a man and a woman and children. It's God's family. Establishing this relational unit as the building block of society. Parents were to be responsible for their children. And the children were to submit to the authority of their parents. The natural law finds its expression in the fifth commandment of God's revealed law. It is no exaggeration to say that the well-being of a person, people, or nation begins at and in the home. Without this relation, the family relation, you have a sick society, a sick nation. It is biblically true that children are to obey their parents, but it is also true and needful that parents do not abuse, neglect, or provoke their children to wrath. We go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, where it says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture." I like that word nurture. There's a nurturing. The nurture and admonition of the Lord. We have that new little baby, little Sadie. And what a precious little girl. And Bethany nurtures that little one. Loves that little one. We're to love our children as parents, and we are to nurture them, to love them, but to instruct them in that nurturing. Colossians 3, verse number 21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. I think I understand that. We can provoke to the place of discouraging our children. And we're not to do that. Provoking them to anger, to discouragement. It's a sad thing to do that. Parents are responsible to God and they're representatives of God. The Bible teaches us this plainly. We stand in God's stead as a picture of who God should be, fathers. And of course, mothers have their place. A young daughter's idea of who God is often based on their own father. Their own father, their dad. A mean, angry dad will represent a mean and angry God. It's not that God does not get angry. And children need to know that there are times when we will be angry, but to do so in a godly way. A kind, firm, loving, and caring dad will represent a kind, loving, and caring Heavenly Father. A young boy learns much about how he should treat his wife by how his mother treats him and how she treats dad. He learns how a woman is to be respected and treated by how his dad respects and treats the mom. Now, when you don't have that, there comes difficulties. I am so thankful that God gave me the wife that He gave me, because I had a lot of things to learn. But because her mom and dad had been the right kind of parents, she was able to be a help to me in this. And I had to learn from the Scriptures because I didn't have that kind of home. We put the dysfunction in dysfunctional. I mean, we were absolutely dysfunctional. Religious but lost, crazy ideas, all kinds of goings on, and that was just the way it was. But I'm here to tell you that you can't blame your environment on how you act and do, because God's greater than any environment. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. But I knew what I shouldn't do and learned from the Bible what I should do. And I love all five of my youngins. I do. And I pray that they've learned from me how they are to treat their spouses and how to see God in the right way. Mothers are to love their children, and by so doing, they teach them to love their sons and daughters. The children learn from mom how to love the offspring that'll come along. And it's carried over to another generation. Titus chapter 2, verse number 4, where the Bible says, Titus 2, 4, that they may teach, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Verse 5, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And the aged women are to do that. It's supposed to be passed down. And that's the idea here, to be passed down. It's carried over from generation to generation. If your parents failed you, don't repeat the same mistakes with your children. If your dad failed your mother, then don't you fail in your responsibility, and vice versa. Now, there's something that I believe ought to be said here. We are to honor our parents. Listen closely. But respect is earned. There's a difference between honor and respect. When I was in the Air Force, a lieutenant came in and cursed me out and said all kinds of ugly things. And I said, Lieutenant, I'm taking a break. He said, no. I said, I am. I said, by the book, you're an officer and a gentleman. But you have no cause for this. I do not respect your action. I honor your office. And I walked out. And I said to him as I left, I did nothing. You're mad at somebody else, and you're taking it out on me. Now, that could have ended my military career right then and there. But for some reason, I believe the Lord let him see what he had done. And I didn't come back. I went over and got me something on the flight line, and then when I came back, he was gone. And I said, well, that's it. But he never bothered me again. And that's protection of the Lord. But I didn't respect him. But I honored him. But I didn't respect him cursing and doing what he did. You can make me honor you. You can do that. But you cannot make me respect you. So parents need to understand that respect is earned. Children will honor you, and they should, and they must, biblically. But as you honor the Lord in what you do, they will respect you. God uses the authority of the parent as an umbrella of protection over the children. I call it the umbrella of God's protection. God's protection. A child who submits to authority, that authority of his or her parents, they get under the protection of God. They're under protection because they are honoring mother and father. That's why it speaks of their days being long. It speaks of them being taken care of by God. In contrast, when a child gets out from under that protection and says, I'm going my own way, I'm doing my own thing, I don't care about this way of living, and I'm leaving. Then the protective umbrella is removed, and the fiery darts of Satan come down. I remember the young man who said, I am tired of taking orders from my dad and from my mother, and I'm leaving home, and I'm joining the Marines. That's smart. No, that's dumb. And let me say this to all of us. There will always be somebody over you. You think you're going to do your own thing, you're going to answer to somebody else. That's the way that it is. Years ago, I learned the principles of authority, and they changed my life. And I'll give you a few of them. These were in young adulthood. I learned that there is a chain of command. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3. In the military, there's a chain of command. God has a chain of command. Everything is to be done decently and in what? Order. So there's a chain. There's an order to things. And God has a chain of command for the family so that it will function as it should. There's a command structure. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3 says, 1 Corinthians 11, 3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. All right? Who's over the man? Christ. Well, I'm my own boss. I'll do my own thing. No, the head of every man is Christ. But it says, and the head of the woman is the man. That's what the Bible says. Not what I said, but the Bible says. And then it says, and the head of Christ is God. And the parents are over the children, as we find in Colossians and in Ephesians. Now, we never outgrow the need to be under the umbrella of God's authority. Never. We are to be under authority at all times. Let's go back to 1 Peter 5 and verse number 5. 1 Peter 5, verse number 5. We're to be under authority at all times. We have a chief shepherd. We're to be under the shepherd's authority as his sheep. And then, as it says here in 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. God will honor your submission to proper authority. It's biblical. The parental chain of command does come to an end. Now, I'm saying the parental chain of command, not the honoring, not the respect, not the listening for advice, but the chain of command, because there will be a new command structure set up. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. And then there is a new home and a new chain. Amen? Never stop honoring, never stop loving, never stop caring, but there is a new structure. When the father walks that bride down the aisle, and the preacher says, who gives this woman to be married to this ugly, hairy-legged man? And the father, or the one standing in that place, says, her mother and I. And she steps forward, and that groom symbolically takes her under wing. That's what happens. And so it begins again. And that's how it ought to be. Therefore, shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. In the beginning, God made them male and female. That's how He created them. That's a marriage. There is not any other kind of marriage other than between male and female. You got me? Anything else is unbiblical. You're a biblicist? You believe the Bible? I do. I'm going to follow the Word of God. That's what we need to do, because that's what the Bible says. We ought to honor our parents. I'm going to give you a verse out of Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 22. Hearken to thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Whether you've got a husband or a wife, you don't despise your mother, you honor your father. That's what the Bible says. Now, there are consequences if you don't. Consequences of rejecting the authority that is over you. These consequences are illustrated by King Saul. He rejected God's command. He rebelled. And his children lost their heritage. That's what happened. Saul himself lost his ability to govern in a godly way. And because of rebellion, and I'll go back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 15, 1 Samuel chapter 15, and we may notice a couple of verses here. 1 Samuel 15 and verse number 28. Let's look at that. 1 Samuel 15, 28. Well, the Bible says, and Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent his kingdom, or rent the kingdom, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. You messed up. You didn't follow the instruction. You didn't do what I commanded you to do. And why was Saul in this trouble? Because he rebelled. And what is rebellion? Verse number 23. 1 Samuel 15 and verse number 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's pretty strong, isn't it? For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Strong. Whenever you get out from under that umbrella that God has put there, there comes the destructive, fiery darts of Satan. Saul and Jonathan died because of rebellion. Because of rebellion. Jonathan, I believe, was a man with a good heart. But he suffered because of his dad's rejection of authority. God's authority, God's ways. So there are consequences for rejecting the God-given authority that He has for you. Now Saul himself not only lost his ability to govern, he lost the kingdom, he lost his life, his son lost his life, and his posterity lost everything except for old Mephibosheth, who the sovereign king of Israel showed mercy upon. Now, the way a teen or a young adult responds to his or her parents is the way that he or she will respond to the authority of God. How you respond to your parents is how you're going to respond to God. That's what's going to be. That's the principle. And it's going to affect your children and your grandchildren. What you do affects others. No man is an island. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 6. Hebrews 7, verse number 6. Hebrews 7, 6. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. My children and grandchildren will be blessed if I will tithe and if I will do what's right. Verse 7, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And that's why American presidents until recently, most recently, never bowed to another country's king or sovereign, because we were more powerful. And when our president bows to another country, it is saying, we're just not that great. Verse 8, and here men that die receive tithes. You got a treasurer. But there, he receiveth them of whom it is witness that he liveth. God receives them. And as I may say, Levi also who receiveth tithes, look at this, paid tithes in Abraham. if you do right, your parents, your grandparents did right, you do right, your children do right, boy, the blessings just continue to roll. You got it? But you say, well, my parents didn't do right. Well, then let's start right here. Amen? Let's start right here. Let's do it right. Let's do it right. And God will bless. God will give us the blessings of following His Word. And that's what we're to do. Now, how parents discipline their children will have its effect. Of course it will. A lack of discipline has its effect. I do not like to go to Walmart. Sorry, Beth. But I'm a man, and I don't like going. But I greatly dislike going to Walmart when there are parents who will not control their youngins. I want that, I want that. And they cry and they scream, you're not getting it, you're not getting it, you're not getting it. And before long, they come back around that aisle and they pick it off the shelf and put it in the basket. That is wrong. We taught ours, when we say no, it is no. And that's unchangeable. No. If we mean no, we mean no. But parents today, they give in. And it teaches the children the wrong principle. That people will give in. And they'll get whatever they want. You don't get all that you want. You need to learn that. And that has to be taught. That has to be shown. We need to see that. The Bible tells us of Eli, the priest, who would not discipline his children. He would not do it. 1 Samuel 3:13 says, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity that he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." Wouldn't stop them. Let them go. And now the house is judged. He refused to stop the wickedness of his sons. Hophni and Phinehas died. Eli died. Won't read the scriptures. Fell over backward. Dead. Disgraced by his sons. My children have not always been all they should be, and probably are not even now, but I love them. But there's one thing they know, and that is that the Bible is true, and it is right. I believe the sins of the parents are passed on third and fourth generation. I think we have problems that come along because of that, but there are no excuses for doing wrong. None. Restrain your child. Parents are obeyed because God says so. In other words, parents are owed obedience. Book of Proverbs, let's go there and spend a little time in Proverbs. Proverbs 1, verse number 8. Proverbs 1, verse number 8. How is it that a child can show obedience to a parent? Obeying the parent is one way of showing obedience. Another way is to follow instruction and advice given by the parents. Proverbs 1, verse number 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Listen to it. Don't forsake it, young people. Chapter 6, verse number 20. chapter 6, verse number 20, where the Bible says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Chapter 13, verse number 1. Proverbs 13, verse number 1. "A wise son and our daughter." A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Doesn't hear it. Doesn't listen. Hard-headed. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, and verse number 22. "Buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth, sell it not." Verse number 23 says that. What truth? Look into that verse 22. Proverbs 23:22. "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth, sell it not." I mean, get a hold of it. That's what you're to do. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Is that enough? Yes. Colossians 3:20, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." To obey is better than sacrifice. Obey. Hey, it's for your good. It'll help you. It'll be a blessing to you to obey. We have a great example of obedience and following and getting under authority in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We have the example of Jesus Christ and His obedience to Mary, to Joseph, the virgin-born Son of God, Joseph, who he was to obey. Of course, his father is God the Father. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, and let's begin to look at verse number 45. Luke 2, verse 45. "And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him." This is when he was 12. "And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." They had God answering their questions. "And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" He's talking about Heavenly Father. "And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them." Now verse 51, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." He was under their umbrella. If Jesus did that, I think I need to do that. Amen? That's what I need to do. And I pray that God will help us all to honor our parents. I recently went out to Denver and saw my mother. As I mentioned already, I love her. I do. I love her with my heart, my heart. I love her. But she left us when I was 12 years old. I didn't see her for 10 full years. But I'm not mad at her. God used that situation to mold me and make me into who I am. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Don't say, well, I'm this way and I'm going to be a drunk and I'm going to be a drug addict and I'm going to run all, I'm going to do this because of my parents. Oh, you don't have that excuse. Uh-uh. If you're a child of God, you're a piece of clay. Let Him mold you and make you. If you're not a child of God, you need Jesus who died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. According to the Scriptures, He's your hope. Brother Wayne.